You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening, and thank you for joining us tonight on LA Talk Radio, Empowered Communication Show with Dr. Pat Allen. My name is Sue Wagner, Dr. Pat Allen's daughter, and the director of the Dr. Pat Allen Wan Institute. We are so fortunate tonight to have myself and Kelly Ward available tonight to answer your relationship questions. The call-in number for the show is 323-203-0815. When you call the number, Sam at the switchboard sees your number and will call you back to be connected to the show. Please make sure you pick up the call back and enter this number in your phone contact list to avoid going to spam. Before we take your questions, I want to tell you a little bit about our sponsor, the Wan Institute. The Wan Institute currently provides facilitators that will educate you with techniques for how to begin, build, and maintain lasting and loving relationships. The facilitators will introduce you to basic communication skills using the techniques of WANT training as developed by Dr. Pat Allen. If you want information on any of the WANT Institute services, we offer life scripts, private counseling, ladies groups. You can reach me at the office at 949-723-0338, or you can email me at info@drpatallen.com. My name's Sue Wagner. I'm a certified WANT training coach, and we have Kelly Ward. She's also a certified WANT training coach. Kelly, are you on the line?
I am here.
Welcome to the show.
Awesome.
We do have a couple I have some people that text me their questions. If you're not available to call the show, you can always send me an email and we'll be glad to review it on the air, and you can listen to the archives for our answer. This is one came in. I'll read it. It says, how do you end texting communication with the man? A man met me and approached me and asked me for my number, saying he wants to meet up and grab food or coffee. Since then, he's just been texting, how's your day? I have other men interested in me and would rather focus energy on them rather than keep responding to this guy's text. He's really turning me off and wondering what's a direct way to say bye, or do I just ignore him? I don't want a texting friendship with the man. I have my answer for it. I can give it to this caller. Dr. Allen says the man is dating you his way. It may not be the way that you want him to date you, but this is the way he's dating, and it can be a turnoff. So you can either follow his texting until you're just too burned out and say, I really appreciate you texting. However, I'm not comfortable. And then you just kind of let him down. You just say, I don't feel that we have that special chemistry that says we're a fit, because I'm not comfortable texting regularly. And then you see what if he wants to step up or not. Kelly, what would your approach be to this question?
You know, I think it's pretty close to what you're saying. The thing for me is that, like, okay, so I think there's a couple of factors. Like, one is how long has he been texting? How often is he texting? And have you ever said anything along the lines of, I appreciate you wanting to have a text relationship with me, but I'm looking for a real relationship, you know?
Prefer a phone call, and then you plant the seed that you're more comfortable with the phone call.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I mean, Dr. Pat's right. I mean, you cannot decide for somebody else how they're going to date you.
Yeah.
You can decide whether or not you will date them.
Yes.
But, you know, I mean, if you're trying to be the feminine energy, then he's being the masculine energy, then it's the ball's in his court.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's not easy to let the ball be in somebody else's court, but, you know,
You have to rally it back, and you don't like that the way you have to rally it back with his rallying it to you.
Right. Exactly. So, you know, there's things like that you have to consider, I think, whether or not, you know, is he shy? Is he busy? You know, there's all those kinds of things to consider. Do you think maybe you might like have some audible chemistry with him. Like, does he like the same things? Does he do the same things? You know, those kind of things. I mean, you won't know if you really have chemistry with him until you, of course, smell him in person.
They did meet in person. Yeah. Yeah. I think she said, a man met me out and approached me. So they did meet physically and he got her number, but he's just been texting. He's wanted to take her out, but all he's been doing is texting.
Yeah. That's rough. That's a rough one.
I usually tell my ladies to say, it's really been, I really appreciate your text messages. However, I prefer to talk in person. Here's, you know, I'm available to talk, and you give him the times you're available and see if he steps up. You kind of signal him. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I think you have to signal him, but you can't expect him to read my, I think sometimes we expect people to read minds, and I try to really tell my ladies, you know, that's not fair.
Yeah.
Nobody reads minds. And if you expect him to, then, you know, you're setting yourself up for failure as well as him.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. So with that question, we answered that question with the people. Do you have any questions from your ladies that you talk to?
Yeah. One of my ladies right now is having a really difficult time because they're engaged to be married. They've been engaged for 8 months and their wedding date is set in the fall of this year. And so they were negotiating time, space, money in play at the 6 month period to reevaluate. And so now there's a discussion about the kind of house, and they're looking for houses, and they're really getting cross swords with respect to what he wants and what she wants. And so I know what I told them. What would you tell them?
Well, are they both like in an apartment or something? So they're buying a house together?
They are buying a house together.
Okay.
And so she was in her place. He was in his place. They're, you know, her place is a small apartment and his place is a house.
Yes.
His house is not convenient for them to like have a family or anything like that. So that's why they were looking for a new place that neither one of them to, you know, so that they could start fresh and all of that. So
what I would do is I would have them each separately write down what they're looking for. Like, do they want a big yard? Do they want 3 bedrooms, 2 baths? Do they want upstairs, downstairs? Start writing down what they want in their ideal house and then bring it to the table. And then start, you know, yeah, I could go without, you know, maybe, you know, a big backyard, small front yard, 2-story, 1-story, you know, they'll just have to start weeding down. Like, well, I'll give you the big kitchen if I can have the big office. They're just going to have to start negotiating like that, kind of like a mediation, which that would be something you could do with them.
Yes. And I have been working on them with it. I do find, though, that like while they're together in front of me, they're very good at negotiating. But the minute that they go out house shopping, you know, they start to get cranky.
Well, who are they going to have? I mean, because you got to look at it this way. If she's going to be the homemaker, she's got to have the house kind of a lot of the stuff that the inside of what she's comfortable with if she's going to be at the homemaker 24/7.
I agree with that. A couple of the points that they're having, in my opinion, are going to be pretty difficult to negotiate. You know, she's wanting a big place. She has horses and she wants her horses on the property with her. And he is not an animal person. So I'm like, that's a big compatibility issue. You guys are going to really have to look at that because, you know, and I know you know this because I know you used to ride.
Yeah.
Horses are a lot of work.
Horses are a lot of work. And
they are.
Kids, somebody's got to clean the stalls. Somebody has to feed them daily. If there's a medical, you know, emergency, which, you know, always happens. You know,
yeah.
How many horses does she have?
three horses right now, and they both have a dog. Uh-huh. So he's a dog person, but he's not a horse person. He doesn't want to be involved with the horses at all. And so,
well, then she's got to get property that can keep the horses on the grounds, or she can rent where somebody else takes care of the feeding and the maintenance, you know, the cleaning up of the manure.
Yeah, the only problem is it's kind of her job to board horses. So,
oh, so it's her job. Well, if that's
that's why this is a tough negotiating point.
Then, you know what, as Dr. Pat would say, sometimes they're incompatible. Like if one person wants to live in New York and one absolutely wants to live in California and they can't compromise, then they're just unfortunately incompatible.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying to them right now. I'm like, you have to look at how compatible you really are. Because
if one
horses don't have wristwatches and they don't do things during business hours.
Yeah. And if one gives in for the other, they'll get resentful and it will ruin the relationship because they'll start getting resentful and bitter.
Oh, yeah.
That they didn't get things their way. You know, it always comes back around. If you can't negotiate to where it's a win-win and somebody's sacrificing their wants for the other, it will come out in the end. That's what I've seen.
I agree with that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, good luck with that one.
I know.
People are probably asking, where's Dr. Allen? She's still out and around. She'll be 90 in September. Woo. She still has some ladies groups. They're closed groups. She's had these ladies for a couple of years and she's just finishing them out. So unfortunately, Kelly and I are doing the overflow of anybody else that wants to do private sessions or needs help with dating questions. I offer a drop-in ladies group and privates, and Kelly also offers private sessions. If you want information on scheduling an appointment, you can contact me at the office at info@drpetallen.com, or you can always just call us here at the radio station, and we'll be happy to answer some questions for you and help you on your journey to a happy, healthy relationship. Let's see if I have any more call in. I had a lady earlier. She is what I call them, the serial daters. They're always on online dating and they'll go out with a guy for a couple of months. And then, you know, oh, he doesn't have the same interests, so they'll drop him looking for another guy. And they seem to be doing that for almost, sometimes these ladies have been doing it for years. And because they're looking for the unicorn man, what would you say to a lady if they constantly, you know, because the internet, it's so available that there's always a better man. So they're always looking and looking and looking. They never are happy with what they got. What would you say about that, Kelly?
You know, I would really have to say to them, you really have to analyze what you actually want. You're jumping from, you know, a yacht to a sailboat to a rubber dinghy. What do you really want out of a mate? Like, you know, you got to sit there. What I like to tell my ladies is build your dream man, build your G.I. Joe or your Ken doll. Like, okay, now tell me what the attributes are. Okay, so you keep jumping around because you're not finding all of these things. Let's look at what are the things that are absolutely that you must have.
Yes.
What are the things that you like to have but don't necessarily think they're all going to come in one package? Nobody's perfect.
Yes.
And that's one of the things that's so terrible. If you're looking for that unicorn, you know, when you literally hook at a unicorn, sometimes it's a rhinoceros. So
what would you say, you know, how I've always heard that they seem to want a perfect match that has all the same interests as them. So they want to date them in a man's body. What would you say about that?
I think that that's one of the worst things on the whole wide planet that you can do. I think one of the saddest things is when you try to think that, you know, you're trying to date yourself, you are the ultimate narcissist. You know, you should have your own autonomous behaviors and autonomous things that you do. It shouldn't be, you know, like we have to have the same shirt and we have to both love, you know, racing or cars.
Yeah, you have to have the same interest to every degree, because whatever interest he has, you could learn to like his, and then you could share your interests. So there's a little bit of mixture of introducing him to some of your likes rather than.
Yeah, exactly. And there has to be a place where you compromise, where you go, you know, I really enjoy this. He really enjoys that. And we discussed that with one of our ladies, our callers that called in, and she talked about, you know, she liked roller skating, but he liked dancing.
Yes.
And, you know, that's one of the examples that I always think about, because, yes. You know, she didn't invite him.
Yes.
And so
he got mad when he was out dancing with women.
Right. And so when she finally did invite him, we haven't heard from her lately, and I'd love to hear from her. But then, you know, it's okay to have a different interest. It's okay to have separate interests. Not that you're having separate lives, but you don't have to have all the same interests all the time. I think there's a level of compatibility where you do have certain interests that are the same, you know, but what's wrong with, like, you know, here's an example. I love gardening. I love to garden. I have this weird, quirky thing about me, and I love it.
We have a caller.
Oh, yay.
Caller, you're on the air with Kelly and Sue. Do you have a question for us?
Hi, Kelly and Sue. Hi. Yes, I wanted to call in for an update and then ask for some advice.
Okay. Go ahead.
I've been working with Sue, and basically it came back from the New York trip, and it was like so low. And then somehow after getting Sue's email, I apologized again, and then we saved it together.
Okay.
So it was good. And then I left.
Okay.
And yeah, he was great. He was saying that basically that we don't have a title now, but, you know, I can always come back in a month and see where things, we can pick up things where they are. And then he invited me again.
Okay.
But now I'm really at the point where I really just, it's like, yeah, it's the same thing. I've been at 10 months, just really trying to go with the flow with him. But I don't want to just like have no long-term plans. Every time I bring it up,
well,
I just shut down.
You've been doing this for over a year. You want more from him than he's willing to give you.
So is there no point where for us to actually talk about the long-term plans? Every time I bring it up, just shuts down.
Well, dear, he's told you the long-term plans. He's not ready. I've heard it. You want it ASAP. And when you don't get it, you want to punish him.
Okay.
That's what I see is going on. He's not ready right now, and you want it today. And if he won't give it to you today, you're going to punish him for it. Feminine is patience, passive, vulnerable, and available. Go with the flow until you're done, not force him to do it your way. Tell me how long you want to date this man until he decides he wants you. I just had a lady. Do you want to give him 3 months of playing? That means no intercourse, but you can mess around. Mm-hmm. I'm willing to give him 3 months from today to see if he wants to commit to me. And if he doesn't, I'm willing to pull the plug and I will leave and be okay. But women are free to do that, because it's putting it into crisis.
Yeah, I would probably only just give it like 3 months maximum, because I don't want to. I think we already experienced enough for him to decide. I don't want to.
No, dear. It's not up to you to decide his time frame.
Mm-hmm.
Every time you meet him, you keep asking this question. And when you don't get the answer you want to hear, you go passive and get mad. Because you need an answer today. Of you want to be exclusive, and he can't, he's told you, I'm not ready. So if he's not ready, then it's your job to either say, okay, goodbye, or be patient until you either get an okay from him or you set yourself up, I'm willing to wait 3 months for him to decide. Mm-hmm. And then after 3 months, I have to take care of myself.
Okay. Do I tell him this? Because no, right now we're long distance.
No, you don't. This is your contract to you.
Okay.
And you would say it like this, write it on a piece of paper. I am willing to be patient and keep my yang mouth shut for 3 months and put the date on, when was it, July something. If he has not wanted or talked about being committed with me, I will have the talk that will terminate our dating.
Okay.
It's the same as what Dr. Allen says. When men say, I'll marry you someday, but they never get the ring, she has the ladies in their own mind pick a date. And at that date, the woman goes and tells the man, it's been great dating you for 5 years with no engagement. However, it's about time that I move on because I want to be married. And unfortunately, I don't see that with that's plans for you. So I will be leaving. And then she leaves graciously without being mad, mad at him. And then he has to decide if he wants to chase you, because you've given him the ultimatum. I've stayed with you doing it your way, but it's too uncomfortable. And I had my own time frame and I waited the time frame, but now I must leave.
Okay.
But you cannot be mad at him for his own timeline, because you have a timeline and he has a timeline.
Right. I only bring it up when he wants to have intercourse.
Then you say, I appreciate you want to have intercourse, but I do not have intercourse. I'm happy to fool around. There's a difference. Okay. You can go make out, lay naked and all that. Just no penetration.
Yeah. And he gets mad at that, and he used to disappear for like six weeks.
But it's how you communicate to him. I'm not comfortable having intercourse, but I'm happy to mess around unless I'm in a committed relationship, because I become bonded and then it messes me up and I get hurt. I go weird. My body craves you when I get bonded. So I'm safer just to mess around till you're ready.
Okay.
See,
okay.
That's the talk I talk to have the ladies, but the ladies miss out so much.
Okay. Yeah, I've said that before. So I'll probably say it again when he invites me, because he wants to know.
You better tell him before you go, dear, so that you communicate before you go, because you did a bait and switch last time.
Yeah, I misunderstood. I thought I would tell him when I got there.
But that's he was perceiving that he was going to get lucky. When he said, hey, I want to fly you out and stay at the hotel room, you say, that would be wonderful. What will the sleeping arrangements be? Because I'm not comfortable having intercourse unless we're in a committed relationship, but I'm more than happy messing around. See, you say it from a stand of holding yourself a boundaries without being mad at him.
Okay. And then, I'll say that.
Say, well, I thought that we'd come here. You go, I so want to spend the time with you, but not with intercourse. So if that's what you want, then I'm happy to stay here. I'm happy not to go.
Okay. I get it now.
So he's still hanging around, but unfortunately and one thing about men is they don't want women deciding when they need to be in a relationship.
Are you dating other people?
I tried, but I think I'm still too bonded to him, so I have not.
I think that the best thing for you to do is to get out there and start duty dating.
I was thinking also traveling and dating as well, but then I just think that I'll be too far from him, and then maybe the connection will lose out.
Well, maybe it's supposed to fizzle out because you're over focused on him and you're wanting too much from him. If you get preoccupied with other men, he'll sense that and he'll want you more.
Right. Yeah. And then I guess I can travel too, because I kind of want to travel.
You can do whatever you want. Just be happy with yourself and whatever mm-hmm. is supposed to come about. Don't try to force it.
Yeah, you're currently not living. You're just existing. You're just existing, waiting on somebody else to have to live a life. You may travel somewhere and find some fantastic human being that wants what you want out of life.
That'd be so great.
Yeah, you put yourself into a box.
Yeah.
That's why we encourage you to date three people, because one's too few, two is 50-50, and three, you know, tie goes to the runner.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. You put yourself in this box where you have no choice but to be bonded to him. You're not giving yourself a choice to meet and enjoy another human.
That's true. Okay. Yeah, I guess I'll have to just pull the plug and just go travel.
No, we're not telling you to pull the plug with him, dear. We're saying date him with others.
He's not committed to you. And you're not committed to him. But you know what? Here's the thing. If you traveling breaks the thread with him, then the thread was very, very thin and tenuous anyway. It was like a spider web, not a thread.
That's
so.
There's a good thing. He keeps reaching out to you, but you long to have him so much that you allow bad behavior. And then you get mad when you don't get it your way. So if you went out and dated other men, that would preoccupy you to where you'd be happy when he called you and you'd be happy seeing other men. And maybe he would step up, because there's more men like the competition. When another man wants you, they want to step up. You have no competition for him. You're always available.
That is true. That's true. I was too available.
You are too available.
That's true.
And he can sense that too.
They can sense that.
He can sense your desperation.
Yeah. Yeah, he can. And your neediness to want, you push for a relationship. He's the one that decides he wants you. And then you get to decide if you want him.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you shift gears and you become happy-go-lucky and you're doing your own thing and you're not sitting there wringing your hands waiting for him, he's going to go like, wait a minute, whoa, what happened? And you're just going to be living your best life, you know, like live your best life, because you know what? It's short. And we don't know how many days we have.
That's true. Thank you. Yes, I'm going to shift this around.
You've got to shift your mindset to stop focusing on wanting him and focus on loving yourself, that if it's not him, there's another guy. So you have to keep your options open to go out and see what else is out there, so you're not always mad at him.
Right. That's true.
Because you get mad at him. Yeah.
I do, because it is what you said. It's too over focused. Yes.
Yeah.
And then, yes. Okay. Got it. Yeah. Thank you.
So keep us posted. And does he text you regularly? How does the texting go?
Yeah. Lately, it's been pretty regularly. He was calling me, but it was just, he was calling me, just giving me updates of his day. And then he's like, oh, we have to go now. And then he leaves after 10 minutes. So I was still a bit unsatisfied.
dear, but you're to say thank you for calling me. It makes me feel good to hear your voice. But again, you have an agenda that you want more, better, or different from him. So a man that calls you for 10 minutes, women would be ecstatic for that. But you're mad because you're not getting what you want. Wanting is masculine.
It's very masculine.
Yeah, he would just tell me about his day and then just run off and without asking me, or just lecture me and then run off.
But dear, we look at him reaching out, and there's nothing wrong with you talking about your day and how his calling made you happy. What were you expecting on the phone call?
Right, just like a bit more balance of him asking me more about my days and stuff.
Well, see, there you are again. Matt, you wanted the phone call your way. You've got an idea of how the phone call's supposed to go. He doesn't even get to call you on his terms. You've got it predispositioned on how you think it should go. He needs to tell me about his day and then ask me about mine.
I see. Yeah,
that's not nice. Typical. That's not typical male behavior.
You just talk about your day without him asking. He talks about him. Then you just share your day. It's called rally the ball back. He tells you it's open communication. Somebody talks about something, then you share your story. He doesn't have to answer a question for you to talk.
That is true. Okay, I got it. Thank you.
Yeah, you can say something like, "Oh wow, your day sounds like it was really exciting. You'll never guess what happened to me." Blah 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 blah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, I was just absorbing it all. He's like, "This happened, and then this happened, this happened." Okay, I gotta go.
Well, because you become the doormat when you don't speak up. I have to blame you for that because you're not signaling you want to talk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's not ask you questions because you know that's mind reading. You know, you just got to share what's going on in your world.
Okay,
keep us posted. You know what, and you may want to call him. You know what, you can call him once in a while and say, "Hey, I want to share my day with you."
Oh yeah, that was what I was not sure about. Like, I never actually would reach out to him because I thought he was too masculine, but then I did ask him, is it okay if I reply to you with the call instead? And he said, "Sure, evenings." And then sometimes he doesn't
As long as you don't go overboard, you know, if he calls you twice a week, don't be calling him 5 days a week. You call him one day. You give back less than the time he gives to you.
Right. Okay. Because before it was like 99% of the time it was him calling.
But Pat Allen always says you give back less than what he reaches out to you. And that's in any form of dating or calls and stuff. And he has said, "Please call me." You did ask if you could call.
Yeah, and then he said it was okay. Okay.
Yeah. So, thank you. Don't overcall him. Yeah. All righty. Keep us posted.
Thank you. Okay, bye. I will. Okay,
yeah, definitely. Let us know. That's serial monogamy.
Well, that's it. Oh, we have another person. Caller, you're on the air with Kelly and Sue. Do you have a question for us?
Hey, yeah, I was wondering what your guys' opinion was on how long would you be with somebody who's financially unstable? And I'm in a relationship and we've been together for 3 years, and part of me meeting him was during COVID, and I know that some people really got mushed by COVID financially, and that was part of his story. But long story short, I feel ever since I've known him, he's, especially the last 2 years, really struggled even for like basic needs of like car payments and things like that. And he's made it happen, but it's been really stressful for me just even hearing about it. And I'm able to cover my own expenses, and I've been, thank God, okay in that manner. But I just don't know, because part of me feels like, oh, have compassion for people, or they're, you know, they got hit and they're getting up on their feet. But I didn't know what a healthy, strong woman would feel about this. I feel a little lost.
Here's my intake. You're just dating him, or are you in a relationship?
No, we've been together for 3 years in a committed relationship.
Are you living together?
No.
Okay. Well, apparently he's doing his thing. When you first met, he was okay financially?
Somewhat. Now that I didn't know when we first met, but he had a small amount of savings, and probably the first year he, you know, blew through it. And maybe I shouldn't say blew through it, because that was when COVID was happening. So there wasn't much work coming in for him. And so he went through his savings, and then that second year, it
is he asking you for money?
There have been loans that he has asked, and then he's paid me back within the month. Okay. And then there's been little things here and there that I've thought, where I picked up the tab. And I will say that he has, we probably go on one date a month and just out to dinner, something small. But even that makes me feel like, wait, if you're having troubles paying for that, part of me feels actually anxious because I'm like, we shouldn't even be going out to dinner, but I'm trying to just go with the flow and let him lead the way with that.
If you know he has bills, then you could offer, if he says, hey, let's go out to dinner, you could say, I prefer just to do a movie and dinner at home if you're worried, instead of saying yes to his request and then feeling anxious when he's forking over money. And I would say,
don't emasculate him.
Yeah, don't emasculate him. But also, if he's got money and he's doing his own thing and you're minding your own business, you may not want to be married to him. But there, Kelly, what would you say? I mean, there's different things. Love isn't always financially stable.
No, love is rarely financially stable. I mean, I understand what you're saying. Everybody wants its stability. Yeah. Everybody's like, I want to be able to retire and this and that and the other. But in truth and reality, especially with the economy today and with the whole COVID lockdown thing, it really put a lot. I mean, I actually know a couple who were doing really well. And after COVID, they ended up losing their house and they live in a trailer now. So, I mean, but they're still together and they love each other and they're working through it. So I guess the real bottom line is, do you love him? Do you want to be with him? I mean, one of my favorite ladies is, if you were with a man and he was in an accident and his arm was torn off, would you still be with him? You know, you have to ask yourself really important questions. Is money the most important thing in the world to you? Or is having somebody who loves you, I mean, he wants to take you out and things like that. Don't emasculate him. Let him do it. He's going to work it out one way or the other.
Yeah. I've had a back and forth battle to everything that you've said. I have a lot of compassion. And I grew up more poor than not. So I've seen it. And there's a part of me that's like, oh, yeah, you just make it happen. And it happens. And then there's another part of me that yearns so much for stability and to not stress about money. And in my personal life, I am somewhat like, I feel like, you know, I have all my basics met, but I still would want to feel more stable within me. So when I'm with someone that's not stable financially, it's really hard for me not to wobble as much. And so there is a part of me that yearns for that, but I do love him. And he's in a position now where I think he could make a lot of money, and I do see that. However, part of what worries me is that you're right, with COVID, I could see how it impacted him and many people dramatically, where they have nothing left. But I also sense like, oh my God, but the little money that you had, you spent it poorly. So there's a part of me that's concerned about his habits about money. And so there's just, I guess, a lot surrounding this, but I do love him. And I was just wondering what you guys thought, if it's been at least 2 years of just instability and like,
are you guys talking to get married, or are you just what's your long-term plan? Do you have a date set?
We don't have a date set. And he even talked about proposing, but he felt like, I don't have any money and I would want to buy you this type of ring and I don't have that and I'm working towards that.
Well, then I would say be patient and see if he can step up and get it. And if he, give yourself a timeline that you're willing to see if he can step up. Are you willing to give him 6 months and not worry about him and how he spends his money and just be happy?
Yeah, I can try. I just, I, I feel pressure because I'm 38.
Well,
okay, that's a question. Do you want to have a child? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay. And well, then so, maybe it's time to have a talk with him. Maybe it's time to set an appointment and just tell him, I really love you. I'm 38 years old. I want to have a child. I don't want to wait much longer. Do you have a plan to stabilize your finances so that we can get married and have a family?
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like an ugly and unromantic thing to say, but you know what? The truth of the matter is marriage is a contract, and contracts are written with loopholes and ways that they can be broken. So the truth of the matter is you're going to enter into a contract with another person. You better know which side of the contract and what the contract says. Yes. So that's why we do the Chapter 14 negotiations, so we know exactly what's going on. If you're in a position where you're actually engaged to him, although you don't have a ring, it's time to have the Chapter 14 talk and see what the future is looking like.
And what's his timeline? Because if his timeline is he can't be financially stable for 2 years, you may reconsider, I think I better move on to somebody who is able to provide for me. You're
right.
Yeah, Dr. Allen talks about women that wait too long. You sometimes you've got to bring it to crisis and let them know, hey, what's our long-term plans? Because I've got a time clock, and you may have to terminate it if it doesn't fit within your comfort zone.
Yeah,
that's the scary part women don't like.
Well, that is scary. Yeah. And the truth of the matter is, and I hate to say it because it sounds so cliched, but yeah, your biological clock is ticking, and I hate to bring it up, but you know, you don't get to rewind that thing. The body makes a decision. I'm not going to do this anymore. So, you know, I went into menopause at 44 years old. So thank heavens. But, you know, for some women, that's not a great thing. For me, it was. I had already had 4 children, and I was like, yeah, I'm so happy I don't ever have to worry about that again. But, you know, you do.
And you do. Maybe if you have the talk with him, he'll understand that he's got to step it up, or he may risk losing you. I don't think that there's any price tag for his behavior.
So you have to give him one. You have to lay it out. This is, I want to be married, and I want a family, and with my bio clock is ticking.
Yeah. Okay.
Because if he says, if he says I'm looking at a 5-year plan, that makes you like 42, 43 years old.
That may not be your plan. So you have to both be going to the same place on the same timeline. And that's something you decide while you're dating. How long are we going to date? When are we going to be engaged? And when will we be married? Not just go with the flow and hope it happens.
Yeah.
So you stroke and stand. You stroke him when you ask for an appointment. You stroke him about how great it's been and how much you care about him. Then you make your stand. And then you try to make a contract of what he wants. Tell him what you want and then see what he wants.
Okay.
Because if you guys aren't, Pat talks about being a pilot and a co-pilot. Well, I've got news for you. If the pilot's flying to Albuquerque and the co-pilot's going to Maine, there's an issue. That you guys have, you know, it's like charting a course when you're navigating in a ship. You have to chart a course. You can't just be going along and go, hey, look at that. I think that's the Farallon Islands, or maybe it's Hawaii. I don't know. You know, you don't know where you're going, the two of you together as a unit.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm happy to have the talk with him. I don't mind that. And obviously following all the tools that I've learned from you all, but part of me feels like my experience with him, he's been such a dreamer that I feel like if you said, oh, in a year or two, like, or even like sometimes it's not realistic, the things that he thinks he can do or like that will happen. And then he could tell me, oh, yeah, this is all going to be situated in 6 months. But I guess in that regard, if he says that and then it's not, then I could just walk away.
Then you have. Exactly. Get a time frame from him, because you already know you don't trust what he says. And that's scary.
Yeah.
So you just go along hoping that you'll get a different answer. But inside your business, because you know the answer, he's not fulfilling what you want in a man, and you keep wanting to try and change him.
And the other side of that coin is this, is that, you know, a lot of women don't want to have this discussion with a man because they're afraid that he's going to jump and run. Well, guess what? If he jumps and runs now, he was going to jump and run anyway.
Yes.
Our last caller was talking about worrying about traveling because it could break the thread between them. If the thread is that pathetically weak, then there was no thread there anyway. So if he's not willing to have a discussion with you and set realistic timelines, then, you know, maybe because I'm feeling you're not trusting him. And I can see why.
When it comes to money, for sure. And I know exactly what you're talking about with him. I think it's actually the opposite, where I feel like he would never want to run. And like I've had such fear around this stability that I've tried to break things off. And we took a break. I needed that. And then he just keeps coming back.
But dear, there's a factor. You allow it.
Absolutely.
You allow it at your expense. And he knows that. He's allowed to be wishy-washy with his money with no consequences.
Yeah.
Okay.
And with your time. He's wishy-washy with your time. Oh, yeah, we're going to get married someday. Well, newsflash, someday could be, you know, 2050.
Yeah.
So,
you have to give him a right to his own timeline and his own way of making money or not making money, but it has to coincide with what you want and not want in life. You can't always stay with the flow, hoping that he's going to step up. You have to require it. And if not, be willing to leave to take care of yourself.
Okay.
That's Dr. Allen. Okay. Sometimes you have to cause other people pain. In order to take care of yourself.
And like she also says, if you're not willing to cause other people pain, you're going to end up on her couch.
Yeah, you're the one that will cause yourself pain. If you can't cause other people's pain, you take the pain. So.
And sometimes honesty is painful.
Yes, it is. But it gets you, it sometimes pushes the relationship forward, communication. Tell them what you want and what you don't want. And there has to be a price to pay and a timeline now.
Okay.
Yeah. Keep us posted. We're running out of time here. Thank you. Give us a call back and let us know how it goes.
Thank you, caller. Best of luck.
Bye. Thank you.
We got a couple more minutes. I don't know if we have any other callers. We'll see if Sam pushes us up. If not, then we'll kind of weed out. Anyway, people, if you want to have private sessions with Kelly or myself, and we also have Patricia Eltons that does life scripts, you can contact me at the office at 949-723-0338, or you can email me at info@drpatallen.com. Kelly, you were answering your question about gardening. Do you want to finish that if you remember it, or we got two?
Yeah, I was just saying, you know, I love gardening. It's something that, like, you know, feeds my soul. And I, you know, I plant weird stuff, like the seeds out of the tomato I made for, you know, my BLT sandwich at lunchtime. But, you know, my partner wasn't into it.
Yeah.
He liked to build crystal radio sets where he could pick up radio stations from the air and not plug them in. It wasn't my bag, and I didn't care if he did it. I supported him. He'd say, do you want to go to the electronics store with me? And I'd be like, ah, yeah, sure, why not? You know,
you have to have your own interests, but then you can share some interests as well.
Yeah, but then sometimes I would say to him, hey, you know, I'm setting up this garden bed. I just wondered if you could help me turn the soil. And he'd be like, sure, yeah, no problem. It wasn't his bag. It wasn't something that he really wanted to go out and do, but he did it for me because he knew it was important to me. So sometimes we compromise and we say, you know, this, I don't really care for this. This is kind of boring to me, but it's really important to my person, so I'll participate. Sometimes we have to do that. Sometimes we have to compromise.
Yeah. Okay, folks, we're going to have to say goodbye.
All right, everybody. We love you.
Thank you. We'll see you next week.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.